Right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I want to thank the Lord for saving me today. Thank the Lord for putting His grace down in my heart. And thankful for the Lord allowing us to be here this morning. Thank God for this privilege, this opportunity. I don't take it lightly. This is a high honor for me, Brother Steve, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. And I love camp meeting this morning. I'm thankful that I had a mom and a daddy that raised me up around here. And I was thinking the other night, I was sitting over there listening to Brother Bagwell preach. There's a little boy, about 2-3 years old, sitting in front of me, was playing in the shavings. And he didn't know what he was doing. He probably had no idea what was going around. And I began to think that was me at one time in my life. Had a mom and a daddy that brought me around here. I was a playing in the shavings, didn't know what God was doing in my heart. But I'm grateful. Yesterday morning, I woke up so excited yesterday morning to preach. Yesterday, I was 11 years ago on these grounds. The Lord settled my life. I was supposed to preach the gospel. And I've never got over that. And I thank the Lord for what He's done in my life here. I know the Lord's sovereign and He can do it wherever He wants to. But I'm grateful He did it on this place, amen. And I'm thankful for this privilege. I love Brother Steve and Miss Barbara. And I'm thankful while I was in seminary, I got to spend a lot of time at Calvary Baptist Church. And I thank God for that privilege. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, if you would please stand in honor of God's word this morning. I appreciate the good preaching we've already heard this morning from Brother Brown and Brother Bumgarner and all the good singing. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, I want to read a few verses. Verse number 4, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Paul says, this first phrase is what's on my heart today. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You may be seated this morning. I want to preach on this simple thought on why you should love your church. Why you should love your church. I believe this morning that a product of regeneration is a love for what our Savior loves. I know that there is a negative aspect of salvation that needs to be preached on. I realize that when God saves somebody, there are things in their life that are no longer appealing to them. I know there are things that are no longer appetizing to them, and there are things that they no longer have an affection for. However, on the positive side, I am grateful that when God saves someone, there are some things that happen in their life that did not used to be there. I believe when God saves someone that He gives them a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe when God regenerates a sinner, He gives them a love for His Word. And I believe this morning that when God saves a sinner, He gives them a love for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that it is no secret this morning that our Lord has a great amount of affection for His church. You're familiar with the text of Scripture in Ephesians chapter number 5, where Paul is exhorting the husbands there as to the manner of which they are to love their wives. And I'm sure that there is a great amount of illustration there that Paul could have used to encourage them husbands how to love their wives. But I believe he hit the nail on the head when he displayed the greatest love there is in this universe, and that is the love that our Savior has for His church. And knowing that, therefore, this morning, how much our Savior loves His church, I believe we
ought to love his church as his people this morning. We know that Paul had a love for the universal church, and I believe in that this morning. I believe there is a church that's going to be in heaven that's made up of every kindred, of every tongue, of every tribe, and of every nation. And I believe in that this morning. But what we see here in this text is not a love necessarily for the universal church, but it is Paul's love for the local church. He had a specific love for a specific local church. I want to say this morning that I believe every Christian ought to be connected in a local New Testament church. And I also believe that every Christian ought to have a love for his local church. I want to say this morning, for you not to love your church is sin. For you not to love your church is displaying that there is something wrong in your spiritual walk with God. For if you are distant from your church, that lets us know you're distant from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not affectionate for your church, you're not affectionate toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just the way God providentially set it up. That our love for Christ is mirrored by the way we love his church. And I want to say this morning, despite the faults and failures of every church, and we all can testify this morning that there is no such thing as a perfect church. I remember one time, Brother Steve, me and my dad, we liked to watch the Atlanta Braves play baseball. We were driving down 85 toward Atlanta, and on the right side of a hill, it literally said, "The Perfect Church." I said, "My God, I better not go there. I'll mess it up." Amen. But we know there's no such thing as a perfect church due to flesh and due to people being a part of it. But I want to say this morning, despite the faults and the failures that are present in every single one of our churches, there ought to be a love and affection in our heart toward the local church that Christ has allowed us to be a part of, because a commitment to Christ will result in a commitment to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in this text that Paul specifically had a special love for the church of Corinth. Now, that may not mean nothing to you. You say, "Well, that's the Apostle Paul. He loves everybody." Well, I read the book of Acts, and I realized, Brother Charles, that of all the churches that Paul dealt with, and he dealt with a great amount of them, however, there was none that were so difficult as the church of Corinth. I like what Dr. Wiersbe said. He said, while the church of Thessalonica was known for their testimony, the church of Corinth was known for their trouble. While the church of Philippi was known for their compassion, the church of Corinth was known for their carnality. You read through these letters, and Paul has some very strong language that he has given to the Corinthians that displays the issues and the problems and the sin that was involved. Just by way of example, we know there was all sorts of division in this church. We know that if you keep on reading, there was members literally suing one another. They were involved in lawsuits. We know that in chapter 3, Paul literally looks at them and he said, "You are so carnal, you are so sinful, that it has led to such a spiritual immaturity that I cannot even feed you the meat of the Word of God." What a tragedy that is. And then you keep on reading, you find out there's lots of immorality involved. And you might say, "Now, Brother Nathaniel, what makes that amazing?" Well, I love that this morning, because here in this text of Scripture, I believe involving in the church of Corinth, if there was any church Paul could have discarded, it would have been this church. If there was any church Paul could have stiff-armed, it would have been this church. If there was any church Paul could have withdrawn his love and withdrawn his affection, surely it could have been this church of Corinth. If there's any church he could have had bitterness toward, if any church he could have mustered up strife with, it could have been the church of Corinth. But I say, thank the Lord this morning that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we don't find a hard-hearted Apostle Paul. We don't find a Paul withdrawing his love. We don't find an Apostle Paul withdrawing his affection. He's not withdrawing his attitude toward the house of God. But he looks at them and he says, despite your faults and despite your failures, I thank God for the church that I am in part of and that I'm with. And I want to say this morning, morning, there's many churches here that are represented, and I know they all got certain faults, and I know they all got certain issues of life, but may God give us this attitude that Paul said that no matter what comes, no matter if it's up or down, that may God help us not to withdraw our love for our local church we're with this morning. Paul loved the church. I ain't got enough time to look at all of these. If you want to know, ask Brother Dan. He gave me this outline, amen. But I want to look at a few reasons really quickly this morning why Paul loved the church. And it's example. This can be said of all of us this morning. You might have come in the tabernacle this morning. You feel your love has been somewhat stagnant for the house of God. You might have walked in here where you don't love church and the things of God as much as you one time did. I pray God will help you with that. Amen. I'm glad the church is worth loving today. I want to look at a few reasons. First of all, really quickly, I want to look at God's grace. Paul loved the church because of God's grace. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look in verse 4. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf. There he's displaying his love. But look, he begins to explain why. Look what he says. For the grace of God, which is given you by Christ Jesus. Here we find that Paul is first of all displaying his love. He's letting them know he loves them. He's letting them know he thanks God for them. But then he goes on to tell them why. And we find that Paul loved this church because he realized that the grace of God had been granted into their hearts and into their lives. And we know by church, he's not referring to a building. He's not referring to a place we go to. He's referring to a group of people, and this group of people have had the grace of God on the inside of their hearts. And you look what he says in verse 4. He said, I thank my God always on your behalf. That lets me know this was not a fly-by-night emotion. This was not a time of life where he all of a sudden, or fly-by-night expression that came by his life, but we find that this is a constant, continual love that Paul had for the church of Corinth. I'm talking about a love that was there in the morning, a love that was there in the noon, and a love that was there at night for this church of Corinth. And the reason that he loved this church was because he recognized that the grace of God had been given in their life. He didn't love the church because of traditionalism. He didn't love this church because of sentimentalism. He didn't love the church because it had his granddaddy's stained glass window dedicated to his papa. Amen. He loved the church because he realized when he was around that church that there was a specific group of people that have had the grace of God invade their life. He loved them because of God's grace. Paul recognized this membership knew something about redeeming grace. He recognized they knew something about justifying grace. He recognized they knew something about pardoning grace and reconciling grace and regenerating grace. And what Paul is saying is, I love you because the grace of God has been lavished upon your life. Oh, and I know again this morning, Paul recognizes that in order for you to love the provider of grace, which is our Heavenly Father, you need to love the objects of that grace. And that object is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I do say, I know every church has faults. And I know every church has failures. But praise God, I do know one thing. Yesterday morning, I walked into Belmont Baptist Church. And it's just a little old country church. But I did know this. There was a group of people gathered together on the side of Highway 49 in Alamance County that knew something about the grace of God. That's a group of people that Christ loves so much that he gave himself for them, and he put his grace down in their hearts. And I want to tell you tonight, despite your failures in your church and despite the flaws in your church, I pray God will give you some Holy Ghost grit where you want to stand by your local church all because God has granted them grace in their life. John MacArthur said, to shun the church is to shun a place where the grace of God has found a home. To shun the church is to shun a place where God's grace has found a home. And by the way, this morning, if Paul can thank God for the grace in that church,
you can thank God for the grace in your church. Because I know there's, I don't know, 50, 60 churches, I'd say, represented in this camp meeting from here and all abroad that come in and out of it, out of town. I know your church may have issues, but I can about guarantee you, you don't go to the church of Corinth, amen. Amen. I can guarantee your church ain't that rotten, amen. And if Paul could thank God for that grace in their church, you can as well, amen. Oh, look at the second reason and I'll be done. Not only did Paul love this church because of God's grace, but Paul loved this church because of God's truth. Look what he says in verse 5. He says that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So Paul looks at this church and he says, I not only love you because the grace of God has been experienced, but I love you because the truth of God is expounded in that church. If you notice what he says in verse 5, he says that in everything ye are enriched by him. Now that word everything, that's not talking about every single material of this whole entire world. What he means by everything is, he means everything that is involved in the Christian life. And so what Paul is saying is, at the house of God, I love that church because the truth of God has enriched them in every aspect of their Christian life. And this enrichment was not a physical enrichment. This enrichment was not a material enrichment. It was not a financial enrichment, but praise God, this truth gave a spiritual enrichment to their heart and to their life. I'm reminded of what Paul said in the second letter to the Corinthians. He said that Christ was made poor so that you could be made rich. Paul told the Ephesians, he said that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It is a spiritual enrichment that Paul is talking about to this church. And if you look in verse 4 or 5 rather, he said that in everything you're enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Now that's interesting. Because if you know anything about that Corinthian culture, you know they liked enticing words. They liked dialect. They liked debating. That's why Paul in chapter 2, he said, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, because they liked that. But here you find he uses these phrases. And what he's talking about is, I love that church because that is a place where the truth of God is uttered. And I want to say, what a blessing it is to be part of a local church where the truth of God is spoken. Amen. Oh, I bless his name. I grew up at New Hope Baptist Church, and I will say one thing. I'm grateful for a place, Brother Steve, that I walked in and my pastor gave me the truth of God's word. Maybe when I don't always like it, when I didn't always want it. Praise God, I'm part of a local church where the truth of God is spoken in hearts and lives. But not only is it uttered, notice this. He says, in all utterance and knowledge, because how many of you can say it isn't enough just to have utterance? You got to have knowledge, amen. It isn't enough to have delivery. You must have doctrine in that delivery. And what Paul, and you say, what does he mean by knowledge? That's not talking about the same knowledge that the Lord has being omniscient. But when he's talking about knowledge, he actually answers what he means by that in verse 6. This is what he means by knowledge. He says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that is the knowledge that was made known in the church of Corinth. And let me say, there ain't nothing else worth knowing this morning other than Christ being crucified, amen. That was the knowledge that was being expounded into this church. That was what Paul preached. That is what Paul taught. That is what was being spoken in this church. Look in verse 23. He said, but we preach Christ crucified. That is the truth that was being uttered into this church. And I want to say this morning that Paul loved the church because truth was available there. And I challenge you again this morning. I know your church may not doctorize all the way right, and they may not do everything you like it just the way
way you want it. But praise God, this morning, if you got a preacher that gives you the truth of God's word, they are worthy of your affection. They are worthy of your love. By the way, aren't you glad for truth this morning? It's the truth that sets us free. It was the truth that put my heart under conviction one day. It was the truth that pointed me to bloody Calvary. It was the truth that saved my soul. It's the truth that comforts me. It'll be the truth that takes us all the way home. Praise God, at the house of God, there's truth around there. Paul loved it because of that. He loved it because of truth. And why would you want to shun a place like that? Hey, why would you want to get distant from a place like that? I'm not a smart man, but I do know this. You ain't going to get no truth out there. Ain't no truth in this world. They're walking under the dominion of the devil. And the Lord himself said he's the father of lies. You know there ain't no truth out there. Praise God, there is in here. Amen. Ought to love you, church, because of God's grace, because of God's truth. He loved them because of God's gift in verse 7, spiritual gifts that are given. He loved them because of the Lord's Son coming again, verse 7 and 8. And lastly, he loved the church because of God's faithfulness. I want to say something this morning. You're going to walk into a local church on Sunday morning, and boy, there's a lot of ways you can illustrate God's faithfulness. But none is illustrated as well as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got a faithful God this morning. And I want to say I'm glad I'm in the church this morning. I'm glad I have a local church. And I believe you ought to love your church this morning. I believe you ought to they're worthy of your affection. They're worthy of your investment. They're worthy of your time. That's all I got, preacher. Amen.